Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
This looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporters, Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And a ground ball to Brock Holt. He's there. Win number 106. The Red Sox all-time record. 2018, the winningest season in the club's 118-year history. What a remarkable accomplishment.
Okay, so there you go. We get that one in the books now. 106 wins for the Red Sox with a victory last night over the Baltimore Orioles. I want to get to some of the particulars of that game a little bit later. But here's where I want to start tonight, with a 106-win team. And I'll ask our producer, Jimmy Stewart, please, Jimmy, if we could open up the phones right away. 617-779-0985. We'll take your calls on anything and everything Red Sox here over the next hour up until 7 o'clock as we do every weeknight during the baseball season, and we will continue to do so long as the Red Sox are playing. And this is now, again, the third year in a row, thankfully, where the Red Sox will be playing into October. Let's hope that this stay goes a little longer. But believe it or not, do you realize in 8 days, Murray, the Bruins start the season?
Yeah.
Okay, and the reason I mention that is that...
The Celtics preseason game on Friday night, too.
Okay, so we carry the Bruins here, and the Celtics, for that matter, on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The games start next week, but... So long as the Red Sox are playing, we will continue to have this program through the baseball season. So in theory, we could be going another month here. We could be going till the end of October. So that's just a programming note for those of you who are baseball fans. We'll continue to do this for at least the next couple of weeks anyway. 617-779-0985. But here's where I want to start. The Red Sox have won 106 games. They have now clinched home field throughout the playoffs in the major leagues this year. Most wins, rather, in club history in the regular season. All these things are true. And Murray turned me on to this today. Baseball Reference, which to me is like the standard of where you go for baseball stats. Okay, that's Baseball Encyclopedia Online, effectively, for those of you who remember the old Baseball Encyclopedia. They tweeted something out today concerning where all the teams in baseball rank in WAR, position by position. Keyson, now WAR, I think, is important for this reason, Murray. WAR factors in everything. WAR factors offense, defense, base running, where you are relative to every other team in baseball at any position. And I'll just tell you a quick aside here. When Theo Epstein was the general manager of the Red Sox, Theo Epstein said to me one offseason that he believed the Red Sox, being a big market team, should be no worse than average at any position on the diamond, and really their goal is to be above average at every spot on the field. Okay, that they have the resources, both in terms of drafting and development, free agency, to have an above average player at every position on the diamond, but you're not going to go 9-for-9 or 10-for-10 if you count the pitchers. And the DH. So at worst average, you should be able to go 10-for-10 if you're minimum of average. Okay? So Baseball Reference put out this chart today where the teams rank at individual positions relative to the other clubs. So again, a WAR. Now look, Murray, if I asked you, how do you calculate WAR? How do you calculate it?
No, it's one of those nerds. Yeah, it's a nerd stat I don't care about.
Couldn't even begin to tell you. Yet, there's a great deal of emphasis put on that in Major League Baseball.
No, I know.
Okay, people put this huge emphasis on WAR. At the end of the day, here's the point. A WAR of zero is neutral. That means you have average performance at that position relative to other teams in baseball. A positive WAR means you're getting a plus contribution. A negative WAR means a negative. Okay, very simple. So, for example, if I were to say to you, in right field, do the Red Sox rank in the top 10 in WAR, in the bottom 10, or in middle 10? Right field is Mookie Betts.
Yeah, top 10.
Okay, they're number one overall.
Yeah.
Okay, number one in baseball overall in WAR in right field. So the way Baseball Reference did it, they broke down the pitching to starting pitching and relievers. They did all the individual positions plus DH. And they even did a non-pitcher column, okay, if that makes sense. In other words, your pitchers versus your positional roster. Okay, and I'm not even going to get into that. I just want to go position by position, and I want you and Jimmy Stewart, our producer, to tell me whether you think the Red Sox are top 10, bottom 10, or in the middle. And then we're going to get to the real shocker. Okay? So we're going to work backwards. I just told you right field. Okay, so right field, the Red Sox are number one. Designated hitter, top 10, bottom 10, or in the middle? Murray.
Middle.
I bet they're number one.
They are number one overall at DH. They're in the top. Okay? Center field, top, middle, bottom. Murray.
Top.
Top.
Top in center field?
Top 10 in center field because of the defensive metrics of Jackie Bradley
right.
Jr.
They are seventh in center field in Major League Baseball. Left field, top, middle, bottom.
Middle.
I'm going to say top.
Top. They are first in left field, Andrew Benintendi.
First, wow.
Shortstop, top, middle, bottom.
Top.
Top because of Xander Bogaerts offense more than his defense.
Believe it or not, they are middle. They are 13th in Major League Baseball in WAR at shortstop. The Red Sox are this year.
Blame Brock Holt.
Okay, so far they've been number one in three categories. They've been in the top 10 in everything but shortstop where they're 13th. That feels low to me too, but nonetheless, this is what
Xander's defensive metric range is bad.
Okay, third base.
Middle.
I'm going to say bottom.
Bottom. In fact, dead last.
Oh, wow.
The Red Sox are dead last in the majors in WAR at third base. Second base.
Middle.
I'm going to say they're dead last.
Bottom. 29th in the major leagues. Okay? Again, second to last at second base and third base. First base.
I'll go with middle again. How about that?
I'm going to go top.
Middle. 19th. Murray was right that time. Middle is the way to go. Catcher.
Get it eventually. Bottom.
Bottom.
Bottom, dead last. So again, now I found this stunning. For all the talk about Sandy Leone's defense and game calling and everything else, the Red Sox rank 29th or 30th in WAR at three positions on the positional roster. Catcher, second base, third base have been a disaster, at least if you go by WAR. Okay, so those three areas. Now, starting pitchings and bullpens. Starting pitching, are the Red Sox top, middle, bottom 10? Which one, Murray?
Top 10.
Middle.
Top 10 is correct. They are fourth in the majors in WAR at starting pitcher. And bullpen. This is the fun one now.
Well, they should be dead last, and this is where...
Okay, but you know the answer, so don't give it. Jimmy Stewart, do you know the answer?
I do know the answer.
Okay, so how about this?
It's embarrassing, this answer.
According to Baseball Reference, again, top third, middle third, bottom third based on WAR, wins above replacement. The Red Sox rank number one in the major leagues in WAR among relief pitchers. Number one in the major leagues. So you tell me, is this an indictment of WAR or do you actually believe it? Because I think that all of a sudden I went through this and said, maybe there's something to this WAR stat. Maybe there's something to it at DH, right field, left field. The Red Sox have some of the best players in the game there. I believe that. Shortstop feels a little low, but I like Bogaerts at 13th. And third base, defense this year really has sucked. The catcher, offense has sucked. Second base really has sucked at both all year long. And Kinsler hasn't hit at all really since he came back except for 1 week. But then I get to the Red Sox relievers ranking first in WAR in the major leagues. How do you take that stat seriously? Seriously, how do you take it seriously? And do you agree with it? Because I certainly don't. And
just that's a crock.
And let me just finalize this by telling you that overall, every team in baseball is rated by WAR. The Red Sox came in at number two. Okay, number two based on WAR. You guys want to guess who was number one?
No, I don't know.
Houston?
Houston was number one, Jimmy. Very good. So we'll start there. 617-779-0985. We'll take a couple calls here at the beginning. I want to get to Dave Dombrowski's announcement about the Game 1 starter. Also, Nathan Evaldi, I posted a Twitter poll question this morning. I'm eager to see the results. And we'll get to Mookie Betts as well here. First, Joanne is in Worcester. Joanne, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing tonight?
Good.
I just want to know, how do they end up in relief pitching, being in that top status, when they have Joe Kelly constantly loading the bases before they kick him out of the game?
Not one of your favorites, Joanne?
I'm sorry?
He's not one of your favorites?
No, not at all. Every time they call him out there, I cringe.
Okay, look, you got me. I'm at a loss to explain how the Red Sox could have the number one WAR in Major League Baseball, according to Baseball Reference, in the bullpen. You got me. So again, now look, I don't know. Maybe there were numbers there that show that the Red Sox pitch well when they have a 3 or 4 run lead against a bad team. So maybe there's some truth in that. But anytime they're against a good team, see, this is further evidence as why you can take some of these stats and shove them. You can completely shove them because they can be so irrelevant and misleading that it's downright insulting to suggest that the Red Sox have the best bullpen based on WAR in the major leagues, not just the American League, in the majors. Rodney's in a car. Go ahead, Rodney, quickly.
Hey, Maz, what's going on? Hey, quick question before I say what I was going to say. Why don't we just call up Mark Bellon and get him back at second base?
Yeah, go ahead.
What I was going to say is, I mean, hey, I'm all happy and stuff about 106 wins, and it's probably going to be a few more games than that. But unless we at least make it to the World Series, I don't think the regular season is going to matter. I'd rather win 95 games and have a championship than win 120 games.
Yeah, so look, Rodney, the regular season doesn't matter. I mean, other than getting you the seeding of that it got you, the number one seed in all of baseball, so that the good news here is that the Red Sox will play at home the majority of time here this postseason. Okay, they will never be in a situation where they have to open on the road. And if a series goes the distance, they'll never be in a situation where they have to play a deciding game, a game 7 or a game 5 on the road. And that's no small thing given the way they historically play in this ballpark. Okay, so they earn that. Good for them. But in terms of the achievements during the regular season now, you wash them away. Which bring me to Mookie Betts. And something I read today concerning what he has to gain here in the final week of the season, we'll touch on that when we come back.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Maserata, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
2011.
There you go.
High fly ball carrying deep into left. Up there, and gone into the monster seats. Number 32 for Mookie Betts.
Two home runs now for Mookie Betts. A lot of people believe he will be the most valuable player in the American League, and with good reason. Again, if you go by this WAR stat in Major League Baseball, Baseball Reference tweeted this out today. The Red Sox, among right fielders, or at right field, ranked number one in the major leagues in WAR, largely, obviously, as a result of Mookie Betts' performance. It's a phenomenal season for Betts. Which brings me to this line in Sean McAdams' story today on Boston Sports Journal. Okay, and he's talking about sort of some of the issues the Red Sox will face here in the final week of the season. We touched on some of this last night, trying to get guys proper rest, get people ready for the playoffs, what have you. And there are some individual things at stake. So, for example, McAdam writes, the Red Sox would like shortstop Xander Bogaerts to reach the 100 RBI plateau. Now, the Red Sox only have a handful of games remaining here. So that one doesn't bother me because I look at that as, well, Bogaerts is going to get at bats. If there are men on base in front of him, well, yes, I would love to see him bring those guys in. So that one doesn't bother me in the least bit. If Xander Bogaerts gets 100 RBI, great. Good for him. That would be an accomplishment as a shortstop, particularly batting behind J.D. Martinez and coming up big in some spots this year as he has. Bogaerts, a sneaky big guy in the playoffs. And McAdam writes, the Red Sox would like Mookie Betts to add two more stolen bases in order to become just the second player in franchise history to enjoy a 30-30 season. Okay, the only player in Red Sox history who has ever gone 30-30 in one season is Jacoby Ellsbury. And that was 2011 before Ellsbury left here. Okay, it was actually, he had one more year, 2012 rather. He was here in 2013. They won. His season wasn't as good. Then he signed with the Yankees, and we all know that that's one of the worst contracts in baseball. But I would ask you as a fan out there, do you really care if Mookie Betts gets to 30-30? Do the Red Sox really want Mookie Betts needlessly stealing bases so he can get to 30-30? Look, it would be a nice little thing. Don't get me wrong. But what if in attempting to become a 30-30 player, he pulls a hamstring? I'm not saying I want Mookie Betts running in the postseason because I do. But I can live with him pulling a hamstring in October in a playoff game. In the regular season, are the Red Sox really going to have Mookie Betts trying to attempt steals this week so he can get to 30? That's stupid. Again, the 100 RBI with Bogaerts, different. You're up there at bat anyway if there are men on. How does it hurt you to drive them in? It doesn't. But the stolen base thing with Betts? Oh, God, please. 30-30? Why waste your time on 30-30? Really? Jacoby Ellsbury was the last guy to do it. Does anyone care? Would you rather have Mookie Betts with 28 steals or Ellsbury with 30?
No, that thing's worthless.
Oh, it's a total waste of time.
And if they're trying to force it, I don't know. There's like bad sports karma going on there. You're just asking for the guy to get hurt. Trying to steal a base that's worthless.
Prioritizing the wrong things.
Right.
Keep Mookie on the bases. No sliding head first. No stealing bases. No doing anything stupid. You got a chance here. Don't screw it up. Jeff is in Norwood. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Tony. What does WAR stand for?
Wins above replacement.
Okay. When you started the last segment, your explanation of what WAR stands for was completely off. And I'm sure you guys will eventually hang up on me and call me a stat nerd. It doesn't measure you as an average player across the league. Zero is not an average player in the MLB. Someone who has zero WAR means that you add nothing to the team above some Joe Schmo that you can get from AAA.
Okay.
If you have a negative WAR, it is not you're below average. It means that literally the team would be better off if they grabbed a player off of some AAA team and brought them up and put them on the roster. So just wanted to make a clarification because the way that you were describing it is not what WAR stands for.
Okay, I'm not. And
if
Jeff,
you have a segment on it, it should be correct.
Yeah, so Jeff, I'm not going to call you a nerd because technically I think you're right. So for example, average WAR at second base this year is 0.2. So 0.2 at second base would be an average player. Okay? The Red Sox are minus 2.5 at second base. So you're correct. It is the number of wins you would add to your team relative to a replacement player you could plug in from somewhere else. Okay, that's what it is. So you're right. Technically, it is not zero. I'm not going to fight you on that one. I'm just telling you, but most of the averages are right around zero. Okay, whether it is, for example, in right field, it's 0.0. In left field, it's 0.0. In center field, it's 0.2. So it's just an easy way to do it. But nonetheless, you are correct. Okay, I won't fight you on it. John's in Andover. John, what do you got?
Yeah, guys, so to kind of continue this WAR conversation. So positionally, I think we can all agree it makes some sense to measure WAR. And I think it's easy to do it when you're talking specifically about a position. But when you talk about a bullpen or starting pitching, in the case of a bullpen, you're talking about eight different pitchers, right? And then the aggregate is X. X versus Y gets you your WAR, right? So
So John, don't get too mathematical about it, okay? If your argument is that it works individually and it doesn't work at a group, just leave it at that. Is that what your point is?
That's exactly my point, yes. Correct.
Okay, and so, look, and I don't know, maybe it can work that way, maybe it can't. I'm just saying, maybe they took the wars of Red Sox relievers, added them together, and came up with an average, and it was the highest of any team in Major League Baseball. Maybe that's what they did. I'm just telling you that according to Baseball Reference, the Red Sox have the most valuable bullpen in baseball. Okay, according to Baseball Reference, they have the most valuable bullpen in baseball. And the best, the highest WAR in their bullpen in the major leagues. I personally think that that is asinine. I've watched them pitch all year. I don't care what WAR tells you. That bullpen should not rank number one in anything. Mike is in Worcester. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, WAR has always been a stat that I don't really get or understand. I as you guys described it, it was making sense to me going through. As you're describing every position, I was starting to believe into it. Then he got to the relievers, and now I don't believe in WAR at all. I picture that tomorrow at the game, there's going to be some relievers sitting around. They're going to bring up Jim Murray and the Wheel of Gutless Bums, and they're going to say, look, we're number one. He was wrong this whole time, and that doesn't make any sense to me. That's all I got, guys.
Yeah, so, Mike, look, yeah, listen, I don't understand it either. And, again, I would tell you that on the rest of them, they're pretty close. Like, even starting rotation, the Red Sox are fourth. And to say, okay, well, I get that. Chris Sale is good. David Price had a good year. Eduardo Rodriguez had a good year. Rick Porcello is a steady, stable, for the most part, major league pitcher. I mean, he has ups and downs. But at the end of the year, you know what he's going to be. He's a middle of the rotation kind of guy. And so I get it. I totally understand that. And the Red Sox have invested a lot in their rotation. So to be number four out of 30 major league teams, totally get that. Makes all the sense in the world. If you were to tell me that the Red Sox at catcher are last, I would say, well, that's lower than I would have guessed. But their offense from the position really has been wretched all year long. If you were to say to me at third base, the Red Sox are last, I would say, I get it. Their defense has been a train wreck at that spot. But when you get to the bullpen number one, if you had told me they were 11th or even 9th, like just barely on the cusp of being in the middle, right? Somewhere in there. No problem. I would say they're probably a slightly better than average bullpen overall. They're not the worst. Definitely not. But number one, anybody that has watched that bullpen pitch all year knows they shouldn't be number one in anything. Because if you were to ask me, go through all the teams in the playoffs, which bullpen would you take to hold a one-run lead in the final three innings? The Red Sox might be 10th. They might be 10th among the 10 playoff teams when all is said and done.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporter's.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Nate was awesome. Used his fastball in different spots, threw a lot of splits. He was up in the zone, backdoor cutters, pitch inside. It's one of those outings that, although the last inning he had to work for it, but also you look up, it's 10 strikeouts, and we haven't seen that in a while. But very happy with the way they worked to get today. Christian did an outstanding job.
So I want to get back to your calls here in 1 second. That's Alex Cora talking about Nathan Eovaldi's performance last night. Red Sox beat the Orioles. Eovaldi strikes out 10. And I posted this question on Twitter earlier today, and there's a method to my madness. So let me ask you, Jim Murray. Okay, I was just talking to Jimmy Stewart about this and Ty Anderson back in the control room, as well as Billy Lanny, about who you'd go with right now. If you had to pick today, you don't know the opponent. Okay, you had to pick today between Eduardo Rodriguez and Nathan Eovaldi. Who would you pick?
Eovaldi.
Why?
Just based on the last couple of starts, and I know he's essentially going against a Triple-A lineup last night in Baltimore, but 10 strikeouts, and he was pretty damn good in New York the last time around. I don't know. Right now, my gut tells me Eovaldi. It's that pretty simple. I'm basing it on the last couple of starts. He's looked sharper than Rodriguez.
Okay, so you go Eovaldi. Ty Anderson goes Eovaldi. Jimmy and Billy both go Eduardo Rodriguez. So 50-50. And that's pretty much what it was on Twitter.
Okay.
Okay. So, and there's a reason I ask it because, and the reason, you know, one of the things that's really going up my butt right now about that decision is everybody saying it's matchup specific. You know, and Ian Brown said this last night, and I don't make fun of Ian for it because he's covering the team. That's what the team's telling him, that in all probability they're going matchup specific. So, but the reason I present it the way I present it is because I want to know who you think is the more trustworthy pitcher. I'd go Rodriguez. Okay, I'd go Rodriguez. I think he's a better pitcher than Eovaldi. But that doesn't mean my logic's right and yours is wrong.
No, I just think, so it's funny that it's 50-50. I guess I'm not surprised either, because right now with either of these guys, it feels like a coin flip.
So absolutely.
You ride the hot hand, and to me right now, Eovaldi feels like the hotter hand, so that's why I'm picking him.
Okay, so when everybody says, though, it's matchup specific, this one's driving me batty, too. Like,
well, if it's the A's or the Yankees, they're both righty-heavy in that lineup.
Exactly. What's the difference?
Right.
So what's the difference?
So it's not, that doesn't make any sense.
So the right now, Eovaldi has pitched well against New York this year, 14 innings. I don't think he's allowed a run. But in the same breath, you would say, well, the old sort of rule is that you throw a lefty in New York. You throw a lefty in New York and use the big part of the ballpark. You make the righties hit it out to the big part of the ballpark. Now, their righties can. But in any case, I don't want to get too bogged down in that part of it, because your point ultimately is right. They're both righty heavy. So why is it matchup specific? It should be Eovaldi either way, or Eduardo Rodriguez either way. Like, well, what's the difference? I just feel like people are overanalyzing it. That's all. And to me, again, I go with the guy who I think's the better pitcher. Now, if he's been really bad and Rodriguez has been inconsistent, but what? Eovaldi's been consistent? He's been all over the place, too. The last couple have been better. But has he really had more than two good ones in a row?
No.
I mean, that could go the other way, too. So I don't, you know, and again, this is one of those questions now that Alex Cora has to deal with and make the right call at the right time. But the idea, like, I don't know, I just get a little irritated by some of the response. Well, you know, you can't ask that question because it's matchup specific. And I'm responding to some of the a-holes on Twitter.
Which is always a fool's errand.
Okay, which is why, and I've told you this, I think you know this, effectively, I'm off Twitter. Effectively. The only things I'm putting out there now are poll questions, links to stories and videos we're doing here at 98.5, the occasional retweet, no more opinions. That's it. None, because you people suck, and no more on Twitter. That's it. You're done. Okay, because you're all a bunch of a-holes. Totally.
You're not wrong.
I totally serious. You are. You're a bunch of a-holes. So you know what? I'll put the info out there that and the links and everything else, but that's all you're getting because you suck. Tony's in a car. Tony, what do you got?
Hey, Maz, real quick on the bullpen war. The reason the Red Sox aren't that low or are so high is really because they don't give up that many home runs. And war for pitchers, home runs are a huge thing. That's the only thing. Thank
yeah,
you.
Tony, what about walks?
They don't matter.
Yeah, well, okay, so they don't. Then they know what? Then the war stat sucks, too. Like, walks don't matter in the late inning. I'm not ripping you. I know you're just passing along the information. The idea that a walk doesn't matter to a reliever, to me, is asinine. If the Red Sox walk guys in the postseason like they have in the regular season and they don't command the strike zone, or let me rephrase, they fail to command it in the postseason like they failed to command it in the regular season, they're going to be in big trouble. Big trouble. Jason's in Lynn. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, guys. I wanted to go back.
Okay, Jason, I can't do it. You got to sit there. Maybe you get into a better cell area, and then we'll try again, okay? But no one's going to understand you. Jeff is in a truck. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Tony. Great show. Just commenting more about that war stat. I think the biggest factor is the wins. If the win doesn't result in a win, that number drastically drops. And I think that having the lineup have so many comeback wins, I can't count the number of times Brock Holt is running out dumping cools of Gatorade on people because of all these comeback wins. If they don't have 105 wins, that war stat is going to go down drastically. If they had 95 wins like every other team in Major League Baseball, their stats are going to go down. But because that team has come back, regardless or in spite of that bullpen, I think that factor is raised. Right?
Okay, so Jeff, let me see if I can put let me see if I can put this another way. What you're saying is the Red Sox bullpen would have more losses were it not for the Red Sox offense erasing some of those losses, and then as a result, the WAR is artificially inflated.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Okay. So again, now if that's true, like that at least explains something to me. Like that, I get. That the relievers come in, they blow saves. So again, apparently blown saves don't factor in WAR. I don't know how they calculate it for pitchers. I'm just telling you the fact that the Red Sox bullpen would be rated number one based on WAR by Baseball Reference to me is absolutely freaking preposterous. I don't get it. Like I look at that and I say, well, then you can take your WAR stat and shove it because it's no good. There's no way they're number one in baseball. No way. So that stat just doesn't work with relievers or something. Mike is in Bill Ricker. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Tony, I think you just hit on it there. It's, you know, who out of those positions you named, who has the least impact on balance in a baseball game?
I mean, no, I don't think that's true anymore, Mike.
Now, in an individual game, sure, but over the course of a season, you got a guy pitching 40, 50, 60 innings versus position players and starting pitchers. They clearly have less impact in the aggregate, you know, and the stat might be unreliable to measure something like that, but to say you're going to junk it when you yourself said 9 out of 10 positions you think they got absolutely right, I think is crazy.
Okay, but Mike, hold on a second, though. So you're saying that relievers play a smaller percentage, right? But they use the same formula for every team. How is it that the Red Sox relievers rated higher than everybody else?
Because they probably aren't left in the game long enough to suck enough.
No, I disagree with you. They're clearly left in the game long enough to suck. We've seen plenty of that. I mean, in some cases, it doesn't take long to suck. That's sort of the life of a reliever. I mean, however limited they've been in the game, they've proved to us that they can suck. Murray developed a whole bit out of it. The Wheel of Gutless Bums, that started in May. So I don't think that's it. The most logical thing I've heard so far is what the previous caller said.
Yeah, you can explain it away, but again, it proves with these nerd stats, just use your eyes. Like, come on. So, but if you looked at that, and some they want to try to make a case like, oh, well, you know, they're trustworthy. It's but based on WAR, it's the best bullpen in baseball. But stop it.
I love the fact that Murray is appalled by this. Steve's at West Rocks. Steve, you there?
I'm right here.
Okay, what do you got?
Hey,
hi.
Eovaldi and A-Rod, put him in the bullpen, and then start the other three guys. What do you think?
Okay, you need a fourth starter in the playoffs, Steve.
No, this is what I want to do. I want to start Eovaldi and A-Rod in the playoffs, and then start the other three guys.
Okay, so it feels like he's already dipped in for the night. Murray, what do you think?
Yeah, it's out of that way.
Kevin's in a car. Kevin, what do you got?
Hey, guys. I just want to hit on that Eovaldi and Erod debate there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you guys ever take into account who would be better suited for the bullpen, the non-starter? Did that weigh into either of your decisions?
Yes, it did. Absolutely. In fact, we all had different reasons for it. Ty Anderson said that he didn't like the idea of having a left-handed heavy rotation. He wanted something that was split, so he went 2 righties, 2 lefties. Murray said that Eovaldi has been throwing the ball better. Jimmy Stewart said he liked the idea of Eovaldi in the bullpen. And Billy Lanny said that he thinks Eduardo Rodriguez is the better pitcher and that he's got a bigger sample and knows what Eduardo Rodriguez can give him on his best day, where Eovaldi doesn't, to him is more of an uncertainty. So everybody had logical, sound reasons for it, Kevin. Is the bullpen the biggest one for you?
Yeah, I think they're fairly similar as starters. You know what I mean? Neither one of them are a guarantee. Whereas I do think Eovaldi has better stuff that's more suited for the bullpen.
Okay, see, and this is where I disagree. In saying that his stuff is more suited for the bullpen, maybe you're right. I think Eduardo Rodriguez has better stuff than Nathan Eovaldi. Eduardo Rodriguez throws in the mid-90s. He can throw 95, 96 miles an hour. He's got a great changeup, and his slider's his third pitch, but when it's right, he's tough. He's tough. And so we had Ian Brown on of MLB.com last night. Ian Brown said that Eduardo Rodriguez against the A's in his career has a 2.33 ERA. So my question then becomes, well, he's been in the big leagues now for what, 4 or 5 years? This year against the A's, his ERA is 5. So shouldn't that count more than the 2.33? Like, how many guys on that Oakland team are guys that are still there that he faced 4 years ago? Like, that one to me doesn't register at all. But the bottom line for me is I think Eduardo Rodriguez is a better pitcher than Nathan Eovaldi. Okay, so to me, that's why I would go the way I go. And I'm just curious as to how people perceive it. That's all. Because in this particular case, it's a 50-50 decision. Really, again, I told you, I threw it up there on Twitter. I think it was 52% for Eovaldi, 48% for Rodriguez. We asked 4 people here, 2-2. Okay, 3-2, actually, if I jump in. But these 4 guys, 2-2. So I'd go Rodriguez. I think they're going to go Eovaldi. And if Alex Cora is wrong, again, they're going to look dumb. And wait until they start making bullpen decisions. Number one in war, the Red Sox bullpen, please. Oh, God, what a joke. It just completely convinced me that that war stat for the bullpen is a complete joke. Like asinine stupid.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.